The song reminds us that there are storms, there are problems, there are trials. Some life-changing, serious trials that hit us. Last week we looked at some of the sources of those trials. We found out that some of them we cause by our own sin, and we need to confess and repent. Some are caused by other people who sin against us. We just happen to be in the way, and we have to bear it. Some are because we give testimony to the Lord Jesus and we suffer for righteousness' sake. Some of the trials come without an explanation. They come because God is sovereign in the affairs of men. Job experienced one of those kinds of trials. Job went through some incredibly unimaginable trials or life situations, as you read in chapter 1 and as you read in other chapters. Things that, if given another context, we would say that it was a fable, that it really couldn't have all happened to one person. But we know, because it's in Scripture, that this is real. This is life. And this was life for Job. And as you read through the book of Job, Job had times when his faith was strong, when he could really trust God, when he really believed in what his relationship with God was doing. The end of chapter 1, it says that Job did not sin in his attitude about anything that happened. But there are other times, as you read through the book of Job, when he sounds like he's a little upset with God, that he really would like an opportunity to explain to God, or ask God, what in the world is going on in my life. And other times he had great faith and he had trust. I guess what we're saying is, when I see this in Job, I say, well, hey, Job is just like me sometimes. When there's a crisis, I believe and I trust, and other times I say, what in the world are you allowing to happen? Now, Job, his attitude is explained in different places in the book of Job, but underneath everything, he had a relationship with God. I mean, he would be called what we would call today a Christian, a believer. For us, it's because of our sin and Jesus' death and resurrection for the forgiveness of our sin that we become a child of God. It's because of Jesus becoming sin for us and taking our sin, our consequences at Calvary, to bring us into the family of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Doesn't have anything to do with church membership, doesn't have anything to do with being raised in a church. It has to do with personalizing our faith in Jesus' death and resurrection as the only way our sins can be forgiven. Now, we would say Job has done that in his way, in his time, way before the death and resurrection of Christ. Job had a real relationship with God. And he didn't quit. When these trials came, he didn't chuck it and just quit and walk away. But look at Job chapter 13, verses 15 through 19. He starts out with great confidence. Though he slay me, yet will I hope in him. I will surely defend my ways before his face. Indeed, this will turn out for my deliverance, for no goodness man would dare come before him. Listen carefully to my words. Let your ears take in what I say. Now what I have prepared my case, I know I will be vindicated. Can anyone bring charges against me? If so, I will be silent and die. So he has hope. He doesn't quit. But he's got this question that keeps nagging at him a little bit. He has confidence in God. But if you turn back to chapter 10, in verses 1 and 2, he says, I loathe my very life. Therefore, I will give free rein to my complaint and speak out in the bitterness of my soul. I will say to God, do not condemn me, but tell me what charges you have against me. Verse 18. Why then did you bring me out of the womb? I wish I had died before any eye saw me. I loathe my very life. I will say to God, do not condemn me. Tell me what charges you have against me that these things have happened to me. I still have hope, still have trust. But what in the world? How is this? What did I do? How come? He's in both places at the same time. We never find ourselves in both places like that. They do out west. But we don't. We've kind of moved a little bit beyond that. But maybe not quite moved beyond chapter 23, verses 1 through 5. Then Job replied, even in my complaint is bitter, his hand is heavy in spite of my groanings. If only I had knew where to find him. If only I could go to his dwelling. I would state my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would find out what he would answer me and consider what he would say. Would he oppose me with great power? No, he would not press charges against me. Chapter 34. Verse 5. Job said, I am innocent. But God denies me justice. Although I am right, I am considered a liar. Although I am guiltless, his arrows inflict an incurable wound. What man is like Job who drinks scorn like water? He keeps company with evildoers. He associates with wicked men. For he says it profits a man nothing when he tries to please God. Well, Job, you want to present your case to God, huh? You really do. You want to go before God and say, now listen, I've got something I want to share with you. Well, Job, be careful what you ask for, because you just may get what you asked for. Because chapter 38 talks about Job's encounter with God. Verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of a storm. He said, who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you will answer me. Who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? Sometimes we find ourselves exactly where Job is. Life doesn't make sense. It seems unjust. It seems like there's no piece of this puzzle that should fit. And yet we have faith. We want to have more trust. But if we had a chance just to ask God a couple of questions. Well, Job, be careful what you ask for. Chapter 38, from verse 4 through the rest of the chapter, God explains to Job about creation. Now, I'm not going to read the whole chapter. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? And what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang together and the angels shouted for joy. Who shut up the sea behind the doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garments and wrapped it in thick darkness, when I fixed... Job, where were you? Job, you'll excuse me if I didn't ask permission? Job, think about who I am. Then in chapter 38, starting with verse 39... and going through chapter 39, verse 30, God talks to him about the animal kingdom. Do you hunt the prey with the lioness in verse 39? Do you satisfy the hunger of the lions when they crouch in their dens or they lie wait in the thicket? Who provides food for the raven? Do you know when the mountain goats give birth? Job! Just in the whole animal kingdom that was set in order. Where were you? You have some questions for me? Where were you when I did this? You really think that if it was up to you, you could do better? Do you really think that it just has to make sense to you? Now, in chapter 40, the Lord says, will the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? Let him who accuses God answer him. Then Job answered the Lord. You said you had some questions. Well, I've got a couple of questions. Let him accuse God, answer him. Then Job answered the Lord, I am unworthy. How can I reply to you? I put my hand over my mouth. I spoke once, but I have no answer. Twice, but I will say no more. Verse 6, then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm, brace yourself like a man and I will question you and you will answer me. Would you discredit my justice? Would you condemn me to justify yourself? Do you have an arm like God's? And can your voice thunder like His? It goes all the way down to verse 14. Then I myself will admit to you that your own right hand can save you. Job, we started this conversation that you had some questions for me. Well, Job, I've told you who I am. Do you still have any questions? But I have some questions for you. And then Job finally answers, I am unworthy. How can I reply to you? I will put my hand over my mouth. Job's reaction to life before God appeared to him, I think he made the mistake that we sometimes make. We think God is bigger, stronger, wiser than we are. We would all admit that. But when stuff tough happens, and it really, really gets hard, I think Job forgot that he's not just bigger, he's omnipotent. He's not just more powerful, he's all-powerful. He's not just wise, he's all-wise. He's in the ultimate. That within his attributes, there is nothing that is lacking and nothing that can be added to. I think we see God, but we tend, when things get really tough, when life doesn't make sense, and sometimes we hang on to things for years, we see him bigger and wiser than us, but not who he really is. And that's what God is explaining to Job, starting with chapter 38. When people see a manifestation of God, when people, like Job, saw this manifestation of God, when we look at Scripture, we see other people have had this experience. Adam, when God went looking for him in the garden, went out and hid. He didn't want anything to do with a holy God. He needed forgiveness. Abram worshipped. Moses covered his face on the mountain. Isaiah repented in tears and then committed his life. Thomas, who missed church the first Sunday of the resurrection and wasn't there when Jesus appeared, the following week, when he had bragged, unless I put my hand in the nail prints and put my hand in his side, I won't believe. Now, let's be a little kind to Thomas. He was no different than the other guys. The other 11 didn't believe until they saw. But Thomas, shot his mouth off. I mean, not that we would ever privately do that, but Thomas did. So when Jesus appears, it's interesting that Thomas is the only one that falls on his feet, on his knees, and says, "My Lord and my God." Never asked to put his hand in his wound or put his... Never. Just fell on his feet and just started to worship God. Well, God's had this conversation with Job. In chapter 42, then Job replied to the Lord, "Lord, here's the three questions that I had. You said I could ask the three questions. Okay, here's my big three questions, God." I'm sure there are times when something happens that forget the three. If we had one question, we could ask God. So, Job, you wanted to ask me some questions. This is who I am. Job asks the question. He doesn't have a question. When he understands who God is, he doesn't have a question. Then Job replied to the Lord, "I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted. You asked, 'Who is that who obscures my counsels without knowledge?' Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. You said, 'Listen now, and I will speak, and I will question you, and you will answer me.' My ears have heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you." Job is saying, "I understand who you are now in a much deeper way than I ever understood who you were before." Now, nothing has changed in his life circumstances. Nothing's gotten any better. But now he sees God for who he is. So for the first time, at least for the first time through the drama of this book, this good, upright, holy man saw himself as God saw him. The second step is he saw God as not just bigger, but the biggest. Not just wiser, but all wise. Not just more powerful than him, but all powerful. Not just knowing more than he knows, but all knowing. Not just seeing one piece of a puzzle, but seeing the whole puzzle from the beginning to the end without having to add anything along the way. He saw God in a different light, in a more biblical way, the way you and I would say it. So therefore, his reaction for his third step is, "Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes." He sees himself as the one who sinned, denying God's sovereignty, thinking that he has the right to question the author of life. He doesn't understand why any of this stuff happened to him any more than he did in chapter 1. But he doesn't have to. He doesn't have to. His attitude is now, "You are my God, no matter what. And I commit myself to you in the midst of the crisis, not when the crisis is resolved." Our crisis is one piece of the puzzle. Job got a new understanding of who God is and made a new commitment to God. There are times like Job, we want to know what's going on. There's times like Job when we have a wrong understanding and therefore somewhat shallow commitment to God. We really don't see God who God says He is in Scripture. He is what He is in Scripture. He just is a little bit less than that in our lives, in our emotions, when we're dealing with crises in life. Like Job, there will come a time, there may come a time, when we have to repent. Because we have rebelled in our hearts against the working of God in our life or in our experiences. And we would like to say something to God. But when we understand who He is, our reaction has to be what Job's was. We have to repent. We have to let God empower us to trust Him, to have faith, not blind faith, but faith in what Scripture says who God is. I mean, look at the advantage we have over Job. We have an inspired Scripture that unfolds to us this person of God. And when we repent, God will empower us to trust Him, to have faith because of who He is, because who Scripture says He is. And our situation doesn't have to change. The saga of Job is the story of a man who suffers without a reason, loses without a cause, repents, and survives. And not only survives, but deepens his relationship with God and his awareness of the work of God in his life. As we deal with life issues, we need to see who Scripture says God is. And if need be, repent. And if he will, if we repent, empower us to survive and empower us to deepen our understanding and our relationship with God as we go through life. Sometimes stuff happens and for years we carry a resentment underneath everything. God wasn't fair. God missed it on that one. Above board, everything's fine. How you doing? Fine. How's it going? Great. But 6 years ago, something happened, and we are dragging that with us in our Christian life, in our relationship with God. Job was. And when Job understood who God was, he confessed it. He wanted God to empower him to grow in his trust, to grow in his faith, to empower him to have a new and deeper awareness of God in his everyday life. Let's bow our heads. I'd like you to turn to hymn 92 and then open it to that hymn and then just keep your heads bowed and your eyes on that hymn.